2 Samuel chapter 7 verses 1 through 17 is where we'll be reading from our focal passage for today. What does it mean to you to be a true servant? What does those words mean to you if asked? What is a true servant? Would you say that you're willing to serve, or would you say that you would rather be served? But today I want us to talk about the importance of what it means to be a true servant in any capacity of life, no matter what it is that you do in life, even as a child to an adult. We all can be a true servant. And it's important that we understand what this means. And today we're going to talk about David, a true servant. We know he is a man that was fashioned after God's own heart. But David exemplified what it means and what it meant in his day to be a true servant. And through David's life, he was a servant in many different ways. He started off as a shepherd. One would look at that as a lowly job, one that would not be wanted by many. But David loved his job as a shepherd. He enjoyed the opportunity of tending to the sheep. He enjoyed serving his father. He also enjoyed serving the sheep, for he was their master. He served them. He took care of them. He made sure that their life was going to be okay. And as David progressed, he progressed in his thoughts and his minds towards, and in wisdom, towards God, more in tune with God. And so God allowed David to be and a heroic leader. And I want us to look or correlate this with our own lives. Think about your walk with Christ. You started off maybe as a shepherd, learning the ropes of what it was or what it meant to be a Christian and what you can do to serve others. But then as you mature in your faith, our goal should be to become an heroic leader. Maybe not an appointed position, but just a leader wherever you go, where people can look at you and say that he or she is a leader of example of who they claim to believe in, and that being the Lord Jesus Christ himself. So we're going to look at various stages of David's life, and we're also going to be able to see how clearly David exemplified the importance of being godly, being devoted to serving the one true God. David was used in a mighty capacity. So ask yourself this question as well: what capacity would you like to be used for the further advancing of God's kingdom? Because we all can do more. It's just a willing of, do we want to do more? Or are we just comfortable doing what we're doing, just kind of getting by with what we're doing right now? Our heart's desire should be that we want to do more. And if you don't know exactly what it is that you need to do, then what should you do? Pray. Seek God's will daily in your life. And he will show you exactly what you can do. He will show you that if you are obedient to his calling, that he can use you in a wonderful way. And this is what David does. He understood that if he adhered to God's word, that God was going to take care of him. Now, we know that it didn't mean that David had an easy life. Of course he didn't. We know that he struggled, just as you and I struggle. But if we're willing to submit, God will take care of us. But we have to be obedient. We have to be willing to serve. So David did start as a shepherd boy. And then as he advanced through his learnings and his devotions to Christ, to God, he became a psalmist. We know that he was responsible for writing eloquent literacy through the book of Psalms, that David contributed a lot to the book of Psalm, and so he became able to convey his thoughts into words. And we know that David struggled, and he proves that to us in Psalm, and we're going to read a portion of David's struggles today. And those very same struggles that David had are the very same struggles that you sit here today with. Now, you don't necessarily have to be willingly open to admit those to me, or a friend or a family member, but you've got to be willing to admit these areas of life or these problems in your life to God. That is the only way he can help you. That is the only way he will be able to assist you and to show you that he can take care of your needs. And so David realizes as he matured in his faith, he realized that I didn't need to keep these burdens to myself, that I should give them to God. And as he matured, he eventually did become a true leader, a great leader. So out of reverence for God's holy and infallible word, if you would please stand and follow along as I read from 2 Samuel chapter 7, verses 1 through 17. And notice that the heading of your Bible above chapter 7, yours may read something different, but mine is King James, and it says, David plans to build a temple. That's a key topic. David plans to build the temple. And it came to pass when the king sat in his house, and the Lord had given him rest round about from all his enemies, that the king said unto Nathan the prophet, see now, I dwell in a house of cedar, but the ark of God dwelleth within curtains. And Nathan said to the king, go, do all that is in thy heart, for the Lord is with thee. And it came to pass that night that the word of the Lord came unto Nathan, saying, go tell my servant David, thus saith the Lord, shalt thou build me a house for me to dwell in? Whereas I have not dwelt in any house since the time that I brought up the children of Israel out of Egypt, even to this day, but have walked in a tent and in a tabernacle. In all the places wherein I have walked with all the children of Israel, spake I a word with any of the tribes of Israel, whom I commanded to feed my people Israel, saying, why build ye not me a house of cedar? Now therefore so shalt thou say unto my servant David, thus saith the Lord of hosts, I took thee from the sheepcote, from following the sheep, to be ruler over my people, over Israel. And I was with thee whithersoever thou wentest, and have cut off all thine enemies out of thy sight, and have made thee a great name, like unto the name of the great men that are in the earth. Moreover, I will appoint a place for my people Israel. I will plant them, that they may dwell in a place of their own and move no more. Neither shall the children of wickedness afflict them any more as before time. And as since the time that I commanded judges to be over my people Israel, and have caused thee to rest from all thine enemies, also the Lord telleth thee, that he will make thee a house. And when thy days be fulfilled, and thou shalt sleep with thy fathers, I will set up thy seed after thee, which shall proceed out of thy bowels, and I will establish his kingdom. He shall build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. I will be his father, and he shall be my son. If he commit iniquity, I will chasten him with the rod of men and with the stripes of the children of men. But my mercy shall not depart away from him, as I took it from Saul, whom I put away before thee. And thine house and thy kingdom shall be established forever before thee. Thy throne shall be established forever. According to all these words, and according to all this vision, so did Nathan speak unto David. May God add a blessing to the remainder of this service, and may everything we do bring honor and glory to his name. You may be seated. In this very chapter in which we just read, this is recording the eternal blessings from God to David. Now notice that I said earlier this was David wanting something. It wasn't exactly what God wanted for David, but David, this was what he wanted. So he speaks to Nathan and tells him, this is what I want to do. But we see that God speaks to Nathan and tells Nathan to give the message to David. No, this is how it's going to be. And we know that David probably was upset, that he probably was disappointed. But God had a greater plan, just like he has for you and for me each and every day of our lives. If we openly submit to him and wait on him to answer our prayer in accordance to his will, it'll work out. And David eventually sees that it will work out for him. But initially, you know that he was devastated because he was wanting so bad to build this temple. And you know, it could have been from a fleshly standpoint because he wanted to be the one whose name was truly a part associated with. But God had a plan, and he was going to allow this to be true anyway, that David's son was going to be the one. But David didn't get to witness it, but David was a part of. And the reason why David was a part of this temple is because David chose as a shepherd boy to be obedient. See, long before David was even labeled king, When he was still tending the sheep, God had already chosen David. And so long before you entered this world, long before you were even thought of, God already had a plan for you. But it's up to you to adhere to God's will to find out exactly what that plan is. And when we make mistakes, it alters the plan. But at the same time, we must realize and know that even when we make mistakes and we mess up our plan, or we mess up God's plan, he's got a backup plan. Because he knows that we're going to make mistakes, he's always got a backup plan. And every one of his plans are good. You just have to be willing to listen. You've got to be obedient. God was able to use a shepherd boy to raise up a great leader. A great leader that would carry. This is what's important, and you know this, but it's a great leader. He went from a shepherd boy to a great leader who would carry the bloodline of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And he started as a shepherd boy. Hold your place at 2 Samuel and turn back, if you would, to 1 Samuel 16. 1 Samuel 16, I want to read a few verses from there. In chapter 15 is where Saul has been dejected from God, or where Saul's the spirit from the Lord had been taken away from Saul because of the evil works and deeds that he did. So 1 Samuel 16, verses 1 and 3, this is where David is anointed king. It says, "And the Lord said unto Samuel, how long wilt thou mourn for Saul, seeing I have rejected him from reigning over Israel? Fill thine horn with oil and go. I will send thee to Jesse, the Bethlehemite, for I have provided me a king among his sons." And Samuel said, "How can I go? If Saul hear it, he will kill me." And the Lord said, "Take a heifer with thee, and say, I am come to sacrifice to the Lord." Verse 3, "And call Jesse to the sacrifice, and I will show thee." This is God telling him what he's going to do. "I will show thee what thou shalt do, and thou shalt anoint unto me him whom I name unto thee." So Samuel, of course, has no clue who it's going to be, but we know that God knows. God knows who exactly is going to be picked from Jesse's sons. Now, if you would, skip down to verse 10 of this very same chapter. "And again, Jesse made 7 of his sons to pass before Samuel," because Samuel had already looked at them. "But he made those 7 pass, and Samuel said unto Jesse, the Lord hath not chosen these. And Samuel said unto Jesse, are here all thy children? And he said, there remaineth yet the youngest, and behold, he keepeth the sheep. And Samuel said unto Jesse, send and fetch him, for we will not sit down till he come hither. Verse 12, and he sent, and he brought him in. Now he was ruddy, and withal of a beautiful countenance, and goodly to look to. And the Lord said, arise, anoint him, for this is he. Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brethren, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. So Samuel rose up and went to Ramah. The Spirit of the Lord came upon Daniel." Now you think for a moment when you can recall that time when the Spirit of the Lord came upon you, when you were just a little shepherd boy. When you were just trying to learn your ways through this evil, evil world. And maybe I ask that question saying to you that you have made this recognition, but maybe you haven't made this recognition yet. And you're still just kind of wandering around to and fro, not having a leader, not having someone to guide you, to show you what it is that you need to do. God can take you. He can use you in ways that you would never have been able to wrap your mind around. He took a shepherd boy and made him king. The lineage of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Shepherding was a job that David took seriously. He had even had to kill lions and he had had to kill bears to protect those sheep, to protect those weak. And that's what God will do for you. Maybe not necessarily in the terms of the word kill. But we know that God will take care of anything that he needs to take care of to protect you, to keep you safe. So you can see that he is a God of his word. He is a God of faithfulness. Be obedient to God, just as Daniel was. During his shepherd days, he learned to be strong. He learned to be brave. He learned to take care of those creatures who were weak than him. So I ask you this today, are you able to take care of those creatures who are weaker than you? And I use the word creature, but you know what I mean by that. Your family, your friends, those co-workers. Do you do what is necessary to take care of them? To show them that the life that they're living is wrong. But when you do this, we show it with compassion. We show them that what they're doing is wrong in the name of Jesus through love. Not through condemnation, not through ridicule, not through judgment. We have to show them, we have to love them as Christ loves you. This early life of obedience to his earthly father, because we know that, I'm sure, he probably didn't initially want to go out and be a shepherd. But what did he do? He obeyed his earthly father. And as he learned to obey his earthly father, this prepped him to be able to obey his heavenly father as he continued to serve the Lord after being united or anointed, I'd say, from God, from Samuel. So how often do you feel that you're being obedient to God? Ask yourself that. Think about that. Take that question with you today. Ask yourself that daily. How obedient are you to God? Or are you being led by the worldly shepherd, Satan himself? And it's easy to be led by the world. There seems to be more world than there are Christians. It's infiltrating our churches. It infiltrates our schools. It infiltrates our families. Our everything. But as a Christian family, what do you do to defend against Satan? Be obedient. Learn the importance of true servanthood. Back to 2 Samuel, our beginning scripture, our focal passage. 2 Samuel 7, verse 8. Now therefore, so shalt thou say unto my servant David. He's now given Nathan this message of what to do. And so Nathan willingly adheres to God's word, so he can relay the message to David. Don't you probably think that Nathan probably didn't really want to go tell David this, because he knew that David was going to be grief-stricken because he wasn't going to get his temple. But Nathan did his part. In the previous verses that we read in chapter 7, David had asked God to allow him to be a part of this temple, but we know that that was not part of God's plan. You may ask God for something in your life and he may tell you no, and if he does, that's okay. It doesn't mean that he doesn't love you. It doesn't mean that he's rejecting you. It means that he's got something greater in store for you. But what you have to make sure of, if God gives you a no, you don't need to continue pressing on until you get a yes. If God has closed that door, leave it closed. Don't open it and peek back in. Leave it alone. Walk away from it. God will take care of you. God will provide for you when he feels that you're ready for what he has in store for you. This is what David had to understand. This is what David had to come to realize. It's so important to realize, though, that God loves you, that even though he does tell you no, that his answer is not an infinite no, or it could be. It could be a complete closing of that door. But it may not just be time for that door to be opened yet. And I can recall over the last 3 years of my life that when I saw a door that was open and I was trying my best to go through it, and then God would close it, and my feelings would be hurt. And I wondered why. I said, well, God, I thought this is what you wanted me to do. It was what I was trying to get done. It wasn't God's will. It was Michael's will. And those things can't coexist. Not to be a faithful leader, a faithful, obedient servant of God. You have to let go and let God have his wonderful and glorious way. You have to be able to let God have the opportunities to open and close life's doors. So as David learned and grasped that God had given him a no, it began to develop in him a sense of urgency to dig a little deeper, to develop a greater relationship with God. It made them closer one with another. So David realized that he needed to grow and he needed to learn what it meant to be a true servant, to learn what true servanthood was all about. And before he could do that, he had to kind of leave from the shepherd's mindset, that shepherd's heart. And then that's when he became the psalmist. He began to write about God's goodness. He began to hunger more and more for God. And so I encourage you, if you have the opportunity through the course of the day, is to maybe write down some of the many blessings God has given you. And look at them and reflect upon them and see just how good God is. And the more you see how faithful God is in your life, the more you see how he truly loves you and how he truly will take care of you, you'll hunger more and more for God's goodness. You'll never be complete because God will always outdo you. You can't outgive God. You can't outdo God. He's there for you to take advantage of. And I use that word advantage. He wants you to take advantage of his goodness. He wants you to come to him. He needs you to be obedient so you can further advance the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. As David grew older, we know that he faced fears, depression, defeat, loneliness, and sorrow. And for a while, we know that he was very lonely. Could you imagine how it was as he was trying his best to fulfill what God needed him to do, but all the while having to look over your shoulder and make sure you weren't getting ready to be stabbed, shot with an arrow? He constantly was on the run. He was in misery. Now, I relate that to everyday life. Think about when you're running from the Lord and you're constantly running away from what God needs you to do, and you can know, you recognize that feeling that's in the pit of your stomach, makes your heart tight, makes it hurt. You feel uncomfortable. You feel uneasy because something's just not right. Don't ignore. Don't run from God. Run to God. Allow him to use you. And I believe every Sunday that I'm here, I probably use that word sometime at least once or twice in a message. Allow God to use you. And I say it for a reason. If you're not allowing God to use you, then what good are you doing for the kingdom of God? What are you doing? You're just occupying time waiting for this earth to pass you over. And that's not what we're supposed to do. We've got a job to do. We've got a story to tell. Take every opportunity that is provided. Be obedient to God's word. Adhere to his voice. And be like David. And be that leader, that true servant that God needs you to be. When you realize or you see these very same issues that David dealt with, they probably occupy your thought process right now as we sit here today. You have fears, you have anxieties, you feel lonely. You may feel hate, anger, discouraged. David felt those very same things, but he resided in the Lord. He knew that God would see him through. You do the same. Listen to your inner voice, that Holy Spirit directing your path closer to God. The realization for David allowed him to see that he needed God more than ever, that David could not do this on his own, that he needed help. And he had some followers with him as support, but those supporters, those followers are no greater and could not outmatch the support that God was willing to give. So when David was able to recognize those valley experiences, it allowed him to commune with God. And how important it is that you too can commune with God. Commune with God the Father and nobody else. That you can have alone time to be with God. That you have the opportunity to talk one-on-one with your Creator. And if you listen intently enough, with an open heart and an open mind, he's going to talk back. He's going to speak to you. It may be through that small voice. It may be through that door opening that you've been praying about. He will find a way to speak to you in life's valleys. When we see God's hand upon our lives, it also allows glimpses of his wonderfulness. His hand being upon our heart and our lives, how he orchestrates, how he constantly is moving within your life. It's just a glimpse of God's goodness and how wonderful he is. Don't ever be afraid to be like David the psalmist. Express yourself to God. Whether it be vocally here today, whether it be on your knees at this altar, whether it be driving down the road, whether it be in your privacy of your own home. Don't ever be afraid to voice your opinions, your feelings to God. He wants to hear from you. And as David matured in his faith and his walk with God, it prepared him to be the leader that God called him to be, that God needed him to be. But unfortunately, we do know that David made a poor decision. A poor decision that cost him a lot. A poor decision that he had to suffer through. He had to endure for the rest of his life. Now, God continued to show grace on David. But David had to pay the penalty for his sin in which he committed. Following David's encounter with Bathsheba, his life was plagued by heartache, plagued by suffering, plagued by conflict. But what we have to remember and what we have to take into thought is that even though David did this terrible act, what did God do? He showed him grace. And so that's what we have to do. If God can freely show grace to us for everything that we do, surely we can show grace to everything that one has done to us that has hurt us. We have to forgive. It means you may not always forget. But if you have forgiven, if you pray for God to allow you to forgive someone for something that has happened in your life, and you mean it heartfelt, God is going to be able to take that away from you where you no longer harvest or you're harboring those ill-willed feelings. So think about what David did, and we're not saying I'm not here today comparing sins. We're not doing that. No matter what sin David could have chosen to do, we just know this particular sin is what broke God's heart. And so realize that if God can get over a broken heart for all the many things that you and I do, surely we can get over the devastation of a broken heart. Because we know that Jesus Christ himself took the weight of the world upon his shoulders for everything, for every sin that was committed, past, present, until Jesus' return. Imagine that burden, that weight that was upon his shoulders. And so with that being said, think about the burden and the weight that can be lifted off of your shoulders when you are willing to let go and just let God take control of your life. And in order to do this, it means you're being obedient. If you choose not to do this, you're being disobedient to God's word. You're not doing as he has commanded us to do, as he has told us to do. And if you don't do what God asks, it hurts your communion with God the Father. It damages your relationship with God. And that should be the only relationship that you should be the most concerned about, is where your relationship is with God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Thankful for God's grace, God's infinite grace. Beginning at verse 10 is where Nathan announces the terms of his unconditional promise from God to David. God promised to David encompass four main ideas, and I want to share those with you. I will read the ideas slowly if you feel that you want to write them down. If you don't have time to write them down, I'll be more than happy to share them with you after the service. But four main ideas in which God promised to David, and these are supported by the verses in which we have read today. Idea number one, the kingdom of David's son would be established after David's death. And this is referenced in verse 12, if you'd like to write that down beside there. It says, "And when thy days be fulfilled, and thou shalt sleep with thy fathers, I will set thy seed after thee, which shall proceed out of thy bowels, and I will establish his kingdom." This is God's message to Nathan. Number two, the son would build the temple which David wished to construct. And you know that David wanted to build it so bad. But God had a plan. He had a better plan. He wanted David's son to be the one responsible for building the temple. Verse 13 says, "He shall build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever." So he's saying that David's kingdom is going to be established forever. Now in David's mind, when Nathan gave him this message, you know, David probably wasn't really realizing or wrapping his mind around the fact that this forever meant that Jesus was going to come from this kingdom. And that's where the forever comes from. Idea 3 and 4, David's house would be established forever. 4 says David's throne would also be established forever. Verse 16 supports this. It says, "And thine house and thy kingdom shall be established forever before thee. Thy throne shall be established forever." In promises 1 and 2, these are temporal promises. These are things that basically happened immediately. These are temporal. These are the things that he could visually see, that he saw with his own eyes, that he witnessed from a temporal standpoint. But Promises 3 and 4 were messianic promises because it was anticipating the future millennial reign of David's son, the Christ. King David served God's purpose when he lived, and his impact continues thousands of years later. You think about that. Think about how David, all that David did, and how he was willing to go from a shepherd boy to learn and to hunger more for God, to becoming that psalmist, and then to become that true leader. It took what? Obedience. David never knew what the next day was going to hold, but he knew who held the next day. You must do the same thing. You don't know what Monday's going to be like, but God does. We don't even know what the next few minutes is going to be like, but God does. Be obedient to God. Listen to His voice as He calls you out to do the work He needs you to do. Every follower of Jesus Christ has been blessed by David's obedience. For what David did gives us the opportunity to be at Sandhill Baptist Church today. His obedience, his willingness to serve this God, the true and living God, allows us this very opportunity that we have here today. What a great example David was. And he still is as we study the book of the Bible, the books of the Bible, and we read just how wonderful David was. And even though he made a mistake, and it was a terrible mistake, one of lust and one of murder, but what did God do? He forgave him. He continued to allow David to reign as leader for 40 more years. Now, David suffered. He had to pay. But how great was his reward for remaining steadfast? He could have just tossed it all in when he realized what he had done. He could have turned his back from God completely. And just think what a travesty of a life it would have ended for him if he'd have turned and walked away from God. For God had anointed him with a heavenly oil. God has anointed you with the Holy Spirit. Do not turn your back on God. Study His Word. Pray to Him daily. Imagine what His face will one day look like. And oh, how great your reward will be when you've come to realize the importance of true servanthood, when you come to realize why we need to be obedient to God the Father. He's got a plan for you. Adhere to His Word. So have you yielded your life to God? Have you wrapped your mind around what it means to be a true servant of the Lord Jesus Christ? And maybe you already are. Dig a little deeper and serve a little harder. If you haven't become that servant that God needs you to be, begin to think about the importance of what it means to serve the true and living God. And He will give you the tools, the necessities of life to further advance His Word. So what are you doing today to display true servanthood? Let us pray. Our Father, we thank You for this day, God, and we truly thank You for all of Your many blessings of life. And God, I know that every individual here has the potential to be a true servant for You, God. But it's my prayer that they begin to harness a desire to experience true servanthood, Father. No matter what capacity it may be, God, I pray that You can show us how to be the shepherd, the psalmist, and the leader, just as David was, Father. God, I pray that You will be with each one that's in this beautiful sanctuary today. I pray that they have received a blessing from hearing a portion of Your Word. And may they hide that Word in their heart, God. If they didn't hear any single thing I said today other than the fact of being obedient, God, that's all that matters. Give us a servant's heart. Allow us to be obedient to Your Word and to answer Your call for each one of our lives, God. May we serve You, may we love You, may we bring others to You. In Your heavenly name I pray, amen.